0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on the weekend, but we're straight back in to European action this midweek as well. The Champions League playoff tie is just around the corner for Celtic. Martin O'Neill again expresses his disappointment at not having Arne Engels available. Reaction still coming in to the new Scotland manager, Sebastian Pocognoli. We'll hear from the people who made that decision and how that decision came to be. And a couple of days away from the likes of Motherwell, Hibs and Hearts joining in the European travels as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Alex Ray and Gordon Deal.
Well, it's certainly an exciting weekend, cup football, Gordon. Then added to that, there was the draw right after the Rangers game, bringing the big two together. That's something we've got to look forward to. On top of that, new Scotland manager going forward right from left field. Didn't see that one coming. I think a lot of people are excited by the appointment, but we'll just need to wait to see what happens. And then we look forward now to a couple of big nights in Europe.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the coming days, Gordon. I think it's really important that we get a few teams through to the group stages of these European competitions. Obviously, the new manager's in place, new situ. I've managed to get that. I'm fascinated to see how he does. You know, there's obviously a lot of talk about the data and things, and we'll probably hear a little bit of that during the show about, you know, the content of that. I'd be fascinated because what were the criteria? What were the things that actually impressed the hierarchy of Scotland to give this guy the job? You know, he's still a novice in a couple of years management, so I hope he does really well.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So let's hear from you nice and early. Get all those calls in, whatever it is that's on your mind. You're spoiled for choice, really, because on a Tuesday we still get the fallout from the weekend, certainly the Sunday games. And in fact, a lot of that got eaten into last night by hearing from the new Scotland manager. So maybe we do more of that this evening. Rangers fans, how much better was it at the weekend? Are you feeling more encouraged? Have you calmed down a bit about the start to the season? Do you see signs that things can go on and have a successful season? Because it was such a doom and gloom atmosphere in the weeks previously. How are you feeling now? What are the things you're seeing that you think can be built upon? Celtic fans, this is the eve of that massive Champions League playoff. Year after year after year on this show, we build up to this moment, and it is massive. You've had so many disappointments on those nights. We've had so many good nights on the show when you eventually do get to the Champions League, if you do. So how are you feeling about tomorrow? LASK Linz, the opposition, of course, coming to Glasgow for the first leg. How do you feel? Where is the squad at in terms of where it should be going into this Champions League game? Because again, a theme that has run throughout the years has been an accusation that the squad is underprepared. So is it prepared this time? Is the squad where it should be? Because you've splashed the cash in the forward areas, so I suspect you'd be happy with that. What about just behind it though? Arne Engels is gone. No direct replacement for him, albeit Mika Bauer has come in as well. Martin O'Neill saying he would have preferred Arne Engels to stay to beyond these qualifiers. So how are you feeling? Alistair Johnston's injured as well. Is the squad ready? Is the squad fit and ready to go and make a success of these Champions League playoffs? Celtic fans, let's hear from you on the eve of that game. It was only yesterday we got the new Scotland manager in, so I'm sure as another day passes, you hear a bit more, you read a bit more, you maybe do a bit of digging yourself. What do you make of that appointment? I think clearly everybody thinks it's bold and fresh. Does that mean successful? Only time will tell. But what's your immediate reaction in the days that are following that news? 0141 951 1025. And if there's anything else you think we've missed from the weekend, then pick us up on it. Maybe you Partick Thistle fans want to discuss the trip to Easter Road. Managed to avoid the Stenhouse Muir fans last night. I'm hoping none of them come out the woodwork.
Do you know something?
This evening,
I've never been so happy in my whole life to see Alec Ray. I walked in here tonight, you know who was on last Tuesday?
I know,
the big laughing man.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he will be milking it. I think he's on tomorrow.
Is
everybody
he?
Tuned in? Yeah, yeah.
As the first, off?
As the first,
get me in for an emergency night off. Is he serious? I genuinely don't ever look.
Yeah,
I know. I know people will think I'm milking that, and it's maybe a bit
he's
unprofessional.
Myself,
I don't really look ahead. I just turn up and see what happens.
I'm the exact same. But when I knew that he wasn't on tonight, I asked when he was on. And I was told he's on tomorrow night. Oh, so no. Everybody, well, I'll be able to tune in.
I was driving the other night, not too long after the game, and I saw it pop up on the screen. Marvin Bartley WhatsApp notification. Not reading that. Eventually later in the night I plucked up the courage, and it was just a big stupid grinning selfie with the Stenhousemuir tracksuit on, you know, four sizes too small.
Yeah, yeah.
To show off XXL. The text. Oh, yeah, yeah, embarrassing, yeah. Honestly, absolutely embarrassing. But anyway, hope he enjoyed his night. 0141951. Not bitter at all. 1025 is the number at Clyde SSB. Right, you split it up. You take the Scotland manager. What have you made of that?
I think you summed it up perfectly there when you said bold and fresh. I don't think anybody apart from inside the corridors of Hampden that seen that coming. To be honest with you, don't know a lot about him. Just now that you start doing a wee bit of research and you know, he's had a lot of experience in younger coaching. He's managed, he's won the league in Belgium, and all of a sudden he becomes a Scotland manager. And I said the other day, I was doing an interview, I was on with Stephen Mill, and I said the first thing he'll probably do is pick up the phone to one or two of the experienced guys, which you would expect him to do. I've read today that he's had a chat with Andy Robertson, the captain, first and foremost. Look, Gordon, I like the fact 39, bold and fresh, as you said. We've got the summit coming up about younger players getting named forward as well. Things are moving the right direction, but we all know one thing. He's got a real hard job in his hand, because no matter what you think about Steve Clarke, to take us to three major tournaments was fantastic. Yes, we didn't really compete in them, but that doesn't matter. He got us there. So it'll all be down to results. It'll be interesting. We'll all be the same first game. What's the squad going to be? Is anything new going to come in fresh? What's the sort of style of play? Looking forward to it.
And for you, Alex Ray, whilst the calls come in, see what takes the fancy of the people out there. How would you sum up the weekend's League Cup action? We've got quite an interesting tie in the next round to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the standout tie would be Rangers versus Celtic, you know, so soon. And then on a week later, then you've got the league game. I think the fact that Stenhousemuir got through, I think, is really impressive. I went to see Ross County the weekend into the quarterfinals as well. So I think there's a lot of kind of really good stories amongst that, and they'll be looking to go again, Gordon. So I think overall, I think obviously it takes me back, because I think when I first joined Rangers, we got Celtic in the quarterfinals as well, which was quite early that season. And it's so important, because
John Mustache, Jay, for the producer, Jay, for the details.
Who won? No, who scored the goals?
The attendance.
Is he in tonight?
The assistant referee.
Oh, no, he'll get it. He'll give the crowd and everything. Mad Rain Man next door. But listen, I think it was it's important, because it can actually really kickstart your season. I think if you can get that, you're obviously going to be, whoever wins that will be most certainly favourites to go on and win the trophy.
And what was the old Partick Thistle view on crashing out, as it's always called?
Yeah, no, I know. We were, I have to say, I thought the first 15, 20 minutes we were pretty poor on the day, a bit overawed. But thankfully we got to grips with the game, and we gave it a real good go. I think one of the encouraging things as well is, and there's often a debate on here about extending the league and things, Gordon. The Thistle fans were incredible at the weekend. You know, you had the whole bottom part of that tier, and they were very vocal and very supportive. But just unfortunate we couldn't really capitalise.
It's a penalty kick all day.
Don't start.
It's a penalty kick all day. Come on.
He's sucking me.
I watched your manager sitting there, and he's talking, and he's giving it, oh well, VAR and stuff. It's a penalty kick.
Yeah, listen.
Come on, Alex.
Not a natural position for you.
Yeah,
that's a penalty kick. Come on. What bothered me was the referee, good position, seen it, gave the penalty kick. Sorry, that's a penalty kick in this day and age. I've seen handball decisions. I don't really like the handball rule, because nobody really knows it. But that's a penalty kick.
That's just a cop out.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is we're obviously disappointed that we didn't get it on the day. But what I will say is about the refereeing, I was obviously vocal afterwards and a bit animated.
However, it's not like you.
No, I know. Sometimes I get a wee bit excitable, as you know. But I have to give him credit, because he actually waited 2 or 3 seconds before he actually made his judgment. He just didn't steam in with it. He's obviously assessed it, because he's in a very good position. And obviously it's been overturned. So we were obviously disappointed on the back of not getting it and the decision that actually there. But the ball clearly goes out before he actually blows his whistle. So we were kind of like, well, surely that's a corner. And between the five officials, four at the ground, two VAR guys, they didn't even get that right afterwards. So it felt as if it's like a double whammy. So It was a frustrating one, but listen, I think we gave a very good account of ourselves. We were very much on the front foot in the second half, and we can take a lot of positives from it.
0141 951 1025. Daniel's going to kick us off though. Daniel, it's a big night in Champions League qualifying tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Good evening, boys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Hope you are well.
Thank you.
Very confident, but I'm not going to be complacent because I know Lask are a good team. They've won the Austrian League. They're obviously there on their own merit, the same as Celtic. But I think, although we've maybe lost a bit of strength in the midfield with Engels going to West Ham, I think some of these new boys, they've came here because we're playing Champions League football. That Kasper Hu, he knows it as well as anyone, being from Bodo Glimt, who have done incredible last year. So I'm pretty confident. I think we can turn it over across the two legs.
You always, because we have like a limited knowledge, clearly, of European opponents, you look at sort of comparisons, and I've seen a lot of people mention Sturm Graz, who battered Hearts. Let's be frank about that. Lask Linz, in theory, are better than that because they're Austrian champions and Sturm Graz aren't. Sturm Graz played against Celtic and Rangers, and both of them, in fact, in recent times in Europe. Their form's good. You know, I think they won 4-1 at the weekend. I think a 2 and a 3-0 before that to kick off their league campaign. So it's difficult, Gordon, because on one hand, they're not a European superpower. I would hardly pretend that. But I think compared to what Celtic could have got, it is maybe one of the trickier ties out of the options that they had.
Where I'm sitting is quite simple. If you look at last year's situation, there's no easy game. Right, you might think there's an easy way through. There's no easy way.
Celtic need that harder than they should have.
Yeah, they do. But what I will say to Daniel is right. We don't know because it will be a difficult two games, no doubt about that. But I think Celtic in such a good place just now. You know, they've really hit the ground running in the league campaign. They're scoring goals. They have something. They've got a little bit of a, what I would say, swagger about them at this moment in time. So I think they get into this two-legged tie full of confidence. Yes, they've lost two big hitters. Ingles will be a miss, there's no doubt. The biggest miss will be at the right back, Alistair Johnson. But I just think the way they're going about, the confidence, everything, the way they're playing, scoring goals, as I said, I think they'll certainly see their way through this.
Yeah, listen, I don't think there'll be an easy tie at this stage, Gordon. They're always tricky, and I find it fascinating that Celtic, as a seeded team, are obviously at home as well. I found that strange. I thought they would be coming back, but I think where Celtic are at the moment, I think they're free-flowing middle to front. I think they're passing up a few opportunities. You've seen that at the weekend prior to Celtic scoring, but they really seem to have a fluency so early in the season, which is to be applauded. I think the fact that they've scored so many goals in the last couple of games, they seem to have gotten the mojo. I think Ingles most certainly will be a miss. I think you often talk about people from the Celtic camp, they often say about the running power of Ingles, which he brings going in behind, and that'll be a loss. But I would imagine behind the scenes, they'll be working on bringing players in, albeit it'll probably be too late for this. So listen, I think where they're at, the new guy Bauer coming in at the weekend looked lively as well, albeit he's not the same type player as Ingles. But you know, I think they'll be looking to try and rack up some goals tomorrow night and take it over to the away leg.
Any concern, Daniel, given that Arne Engels has gone before this tie and Mika Bauer's come in, but I think Martin O'Neill said he still wanted another Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain suspended?
I would say my main concern lies with our defence. If we look at the game against Dundee United, although it was a clean sheet, Dundee United had a lot of chances. And I think a team like Lask, if they've got that power up front, I think they can damage us. So I think my main concern would be the back line going forward. I've shown this season we can score a lot of goals. So I think we just need to play cautiously when playing out from the back, which we seem to do quite often.
How ready do you think the squad is, Gordon? I alluded to it when we did the headlines and so on. It's a theme every single time Celtic get into these playoffs. We have a debate about when it doesn't go right, was the squad ready? Was it underprepared? Were players in? All that sort of stuff.
It's not in the perfect position, you've got to say, because of what we're talking about here tonight, two big players for them. As I say, Ingles, yes, his delivery from set plays was brilliant for Celtic. He's a threat. I thought he started the season very, very well indeed. Mm-hmm. But my big concern, my big miss is Johnson. I think Johnson brings so much to that Celtic defence. I totally agree with Daniel. Celtic do look just now like they can give up a few chances. Dundee United, for instance, hurt the woodwork a few times at the weekend. But they look, and Alec touched on it, middle to front. Mm. And the do you know some? I like the two new signings that we've seen most, in Casper Hu and Duran, for instance. But do you know who I think is going to be really big for Celtic? Negrin. I think he's runs because of the fact that the way Casper Hu can play now, he's a link-up player, he can flick it on, he can hold it in, he can lay it off first time. I just think this guy, he arrives in the box, he's got a knack, Alec. He arrives in the box at the right time. He's brilliant at it. And I'll tell you one thing, he can finish.
Let's thank Daniel, first of all, for his time, and hear from Martin O'Neill on the recently exited Arne Ingles.
Of course it is, yeah. I think that Arne wanted to go. He didn't. He didn't want to play in the matches in case he got injured. I think I said again last week that was understandable if this is a move that he wanted to make. But for the football club, yeah, disappointing really, because just at this moment, he's hard to replace in the side, you know, that sort of running power that he has and that he gives us. So just even for these two games, that's disappointing. It is what it is, and it's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, you're right, there is.
Yep.
Once the player, and we spoke about this on Friday, I think the Alistair Johnson injury clearly impacts things. If you're Arne Ingles and you realise that your big move can be scuppered by an injury. Because I mean, technically there might, I don't know, maybe this comes through in the phones, there might be some Celtic fans that say, no, there is something you can do about it. You can make sure he stays until, you know, after these games. But, you know, what's your view on that?
No, listen, I don't think you can make a player play. I think if they dig their heels in, I think because of the power that they have. I think there's a couple of examples. We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, Gordon. You know, there was obviously talk about Chermiti going and guys going, I'll drive him down the road and all that. And I'm going, but, you know, the clubs want to play them until there's a concrete offer on the table. So you've seen Chermiti, you've seen Johnston, and now Ingles has went, do you know what, I'm not willing to risk that. And you can hear the disappointment in Martin O'Neill's voice there, because he's gone, in an ideal world, we'd like to have kept him, and then shook his hand and said thanks very much. But if they dig their heels in, then there's not much you can do.
Because you know what, you don't even have to debate who's a good player, who's a bad player. Mm-hmm. If you just look at the numbers, Arne Ingles, -1, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, minus another. Now Micah Bower's in, fine. Mm-hmm. So that's still one body down. Mm-hmm. And then once you do dig a bit deeper into sort of who's good and who's contributing to the team, there was a time when, no problem, Rio Hatate goes and plays in your midfield in a big European game. But that, you know, isn't really where he's at the moment, albeit, I don't know, maybe he does get chucked back in, but that would be a surprise.
It would be a surprise, but I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be a risk, because everybody will agree on his game, Gordon, he's top quality. There's no doubt about that. You're talking about the boy Ingles, you forget that there's a third party here, Celtic Ingles. West Ham are forking out 22 million or something. Aye. Right. So West Ham ain't going to bow to Celtic saying, okay, we'll wait till after the qualifier. Don't worry about it. We're paying 22 million. We want the boy now. We're starting to prepare.
There was talk about getting him in for the championship opener, but he didn't play, did he?
No. Mm. No. But see, you can back to your point there in terms of the bench, and you made a good point, Gordon, because our body's like, I actually feel as if that's probably one of the weakest, because you look at Celtic starting 11, you're going, poor, these are quite impressive. Now, Johnson's obviously missing. He would most certainly be in amongst that. But then you look at the bench, Hatate has not even featured. He looks totally disinterested, and they do not knock back a move recently as well. So it's just a case, for me, he's sitting on that bench, but ultimately I don't see him playing much.
But the thing quickly, Alec, is if you're going to get yourself out and you get the opportunity to play, go and show people what you're worth.
Ricky's on the line. Ricky, confident Celtic's squad is where it needs to be for tomorrow?
No, where it needs to be. Obviously, Alistair Johnson's a miss. Ingles, to a certain extent, you know, and he's had good games, he's had bad games. You know, there was a time there he was sitting on the bench and all. So, I think Johnson's probably the one we'll miss tomorrow night. I'm going to put us in. I think Rio Hatate will play tomorrow night, and I think he'll play it right back.
Not a chance. Matter chance, Ricky.
That was the last we saw of him almost. Not fully, but the Dundee United game.
And they gave it. He was terrible there.
Yeah. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill on Rio Hitati since the subject's come up.
What I would love Rio to do is get back to the form that he has shown a couple of years ago when he was one of the best players in Scotland. And that's the point. It's been a bit of a struggle for him. You know, he's not a regular member of the team now at the moment. At the moment, those things can change. But I don't know about leaving in that sense. There's been inquiries for him, but I don't think there's been anything definitive. But that may well happen in the next week, and we'll see if Rio wanted to stay on and really battle for his place here in the team and say he's capable of doing it. I have not a problem with that.
Is the problem with that stuff, Ricky? Sometimes what does that say to Colby Donovan? You know, Alistair Johnson's going to be out for weeks, maybe even more. You know, surely he needs to be the one that has to come in and stake a claim to try and fill those boots as big as they are.
Right. Rio Hitati played left back for us and he was outstanding. Right. So I think I've got the heat that he might play tomorrow night and he might play right back. But irrespective of who plays right back or Rio Hitati plays or no, I think they've got enough up front for the doctor. I think the doctor will put the ball away.
The doctor.
I like that. That's how how I remember his name, believe it or not. If I ever forget his name, I think he Doctor Who. Right? I've got to say, I know what Ricky's saying, right? But there's absolutely no chance that Hitati's got to play right back. Absolute no chance. But I was listening to Martin O'Neill there. Martin O'Neill's not shut the door on this guy because Martin O'Neill knows how good this guy is. But Alec came out with a statement of saying his head's got to be in the right place. And
do you agree with that?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. But the thing I've got in my head, Alec, is quite simple for me. If I'm Hitati or his agent, I'm thinking myself, right now, nobody's clambering to come in and pay money for me.
I think there was reports that he turned down moves.
MLS as well?
Yeah, but probably not where he wants to go and play, Alec, right, for his ability. So for me, I would be saying, I'll tell you what, get me any of these qualifiers, Champions League, remember, get me in here, into the middle of the park, because there's a space here.
But not right back?
No, he's never playing right back.
Ricky, see if you're right tomorrow, make sure you phone
never.
In 6:02 and get these guys told. That was Ricky on the line. You want to keep going on Celtic's build-up, Rangers fans, are you encouraged by the weekend? We've got a new Scotland manager that continues that discussion as well. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls until 8. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Big night for Celtic in the Champions League tomorrow. We've just had a big weekend. We've got a new Scotland manager. There is loads to get through. So let's dive straight back in with John, who's on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for having us
evening,
on.
John.
Try and be quick with this point, guys. I don't know what you think, and please don't shoot me down. Obviously, the situation we've got with the front line at Ibrox. And I'm just going to put this out there. As I say, you might laugh, but Jamie Vardy is available, free agent. If you watch his documentary, it's quite bizarre to where he came from. I know he's 39, still looks fairly fit, scores goals wherever he's went. My point is, could Rangers not take a punt with him, even try and get him for a year? I think he could come up here and run amok, to be quite frank with you. So I don't know what your point is, Alec, or your point, Gordon, but...
Right. Well,
I know. Listen, a couple of the boys were talking about this the other day, and they flagged up Vardy. I think he's 39 now, and I think within a couple of months he's going to be 40. For me, he's past his best, and I think Rangers need to think more outside the box. And there was obviously a suggestion about James Tavernier coming back. I wasn't an advocate of that either. I think you need to think more further forward and try and kind of get for the lot, not just the short term. You have to be medium to long term. And I think they've obviously, Rangers are looking to bring in this right back as well from, is it Villa? So I think they're kind of looking past it. I don't expect Rangers to go down the road to bring a 39-year-old in. I don't think it would wash too well with a lot of the fan base either.
I've seen him linked with Sao Paulo, West Ham, all sorts. Gordon, can both be true though. I mean, he's obviously past his best. Like that would be no denying that. Might that still be enough to do a job up here?
Well, I'm going different from Alec. If it was right price,
and it's free.
That, no, I'm talking wages. About wages.
Mm.
If the wages were sensible and fit it in with the rest of the club, I don't think I would take a punt on him. I do think for one season, I still think up here he would have the ability to go and score goals.
You've split the audience, John. 50-50, one for you, one against you.
Do you know another thing? You've got English clubs in the Premier, the Championship, which is a great standard, probably better than the Premier League here. So you've got, I don't know if I read Southampton or another team sniffing about Vardy. As I say, see when you watch a documentary and where the guy came from at that lower league and come up 7-8 tiers and went to Italy and scored goals. I watched the documentary.
Is it the documentary that's put this idea in your head, John? Because you've...
No. The documentary actually summed up what the guy is really all about. How determined he is, how he's on that park, and no matter what club he plays for, he's got that ability, he's got the desire, he's got a bit of grit and a bit of fight and a bit of balls in him that we've no got, and we're paying tens of millions of pounds for people. So why no give the guy a chance if that is the case and go on to his agent and say, get him up for a year, take a chance. I don't think it's a laughing stock if we do get him, because we've had Mary a laughing stock with some of the players that we've signed for millions and millions, and have not even put a jersey on to turn up. So I think, personally, and I don't know about a lot of other Rangers fans out there, that it would not be a bad shout at all, and I certainly wouldn't be laughing at it. And I would hope if he did come here, I could come back on the phone and say to Alec,
absolutely,
there you go, Alec. What about that?
Hey, we're getting a job as a scout if you do call it, John. To be fair, I don't think you're saying...
No,
ludicrous, terrible, no, embarrassing, listen, shout. Just not one that you would.
I think if my memory serves me right, John Brown recommended Vardy when he was at Fleetwood for $750,000 way back before he even got onto the ladder. Really, so he's had an incredible career and things. I just think the guy's kind of past his best.
Right, talk to me then. What Rangers do in that area if it's not Jamie Vardy? Because Derek McInnes starts the season with two strikers up front.
Yep.
Obviously, Youssef Tchermiti gets injured. Derek McInnes says they're going to go back into the market. And based on the weekend, everybody's now saying Rangers look better with one striker. So what's the future for that department of the team overall, do you think?
Well, it depends on if he fancies.
Is he going to play one?
Yeah.
Do you need to sign another?
Well, probably not. Again, you look at Shanklin and Adeyemi, for me, they're more out-and-out number nines as opposed to Majewski. I think he's better to play with someone, you know, kind of linked and running behind. I didn't get the impression that Derek McInnes fancied Majewski. I think Tchermiti had stayed fit and he stayed at Rangers, I think Majewski would have been out the door. So I think they were going to carry three strikers, but I'm not convinced that Derek fancies Majewski.
Are you a fan of Nadiri?
I think Nadiri could potentially get between 15 and 20 goals a season. I think with the profile, the stature, would he be a starter on a weekly basis? I'm not sure yet.
What do you think then, right? Because, so like I said, one striker at the weekend and Nadiri, it looks... Well, again, it's based on one game, but you can only go on what you've seen. Maybe looked a bit better. Lawrence Shanklin's a club captain, I think, you know, kind of a big name signing in our context. But then many people say he's better with someone alongside him.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make all that? So something needs to give there, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I don't care what formation they're going to play. I definitely think with Tchermiti long term, I think they need another striker in the building. And I agreed with the Vardy only because of the situation Rangers are. Without going out and spending more millions of pounds, you've got a guy that if he fit at your wage structure, I do think he would score goals. It's only opinions. Alec thinks he's past his best, and I think we'll agree that. But it's short term. You need a fix in there. I do think Rangers need an R striker. I think Derek will look at the weekend and think, okay, we scored five goals, we played well, the one striker too wide. But Derek likes that formation of two strikers. He might go back to it.
You mentioned the right back, Alex Costa Nedeljkovic, expected to join on a loan from Aston Villa with a £4 million obligation, I think was the report I read last night. 20-year-old right back. What do you make of that?
I think that fits the profile that Rangers are currently adopting, Gordon. I think you get a younger player, get a couple of years, hopefully he progresses. That's from the club's point of view, they'll be hoping that he progresses, and then you put him on for a considerable uplift. And in that time, it goes back to the other young boy that scored the wonder goal at the weekend.
Dragovic,
yeah. So, you know, that kind of profile looks to me as if the way Rangers are trying to do their business. And that's the reason why I was kind of balking at a 39-year-old coming in the door. I take your point on it. It's a potential one. You bring him in, there's no big fee. Are you surprised
with the right-back situation? Because you've got two in there though now. You've already signed one, Alec.
And you've got
Sterling in there as well. All of a sudden, now you've got three.
I'd love to know that, because if the answer isn't favourable to Ross McCrory and Dejan Sterling, then no one will ever admit it. So right, I understand that. You'd love to know deep down, is this because they don't think those two are up to it based on what they've seen in the first couple of weeks and they think they need more? Or did they always intend to have three? That would seem like a surprise. Or did they see the other two as sort of moving about a bit more?
Yeah, potentially. I think the fact that Dejan can play a couple of positions, the problem with Dejan is that he struggles to get a kind of run of games, 15, 20 games in the bounce. So he has quite a lot of injury issues. McCrory hasn't quite hit the heights yet that they would have expected. But I think when you go back to a couple of weeks ago, Dragovic was playing right back, and then Finlay Curtis was playing right back. So for me, it kind of suggests that they're not quite comfortable with that particular area. I think they need to shore up the back line. They need to get the back line sorted, Gordon, because they are shipping goals at an alarming rate. Was it someone said that you have to go back to March before they had a clean sheet? So yeah, that would be a concern.
Oh yeah.
What do you think of the right back then? Do you think they always wanted another one, or is this a reaction to what's been witnessed in the first few weeks?
No, because I think Derek's looked at the squad, because Alex said that he's played two people in that position that don't play right back in the opening games of the season. So I think he's already made his mind up that maybe the McCrory signing wasn't probably his best, and it's a bit unfair because it's early doors. But if you're going out and you're signing another right back when you get a potential of, you know, probably that's you get three, it tells you maybe that the signing wasn't the best that he's made.
John, thank you very much. You come back on when Jamie Vardy's got his Rangers scarf posing up for the pictures. You make sure you give us a call. Before we go any further, let me just remind you about the Cash for Kids Sports Challenge. It's back for 2026, giving clubs in Glasgow, Ayrshire and the west of Scotland the chance to compete for a share of thousands of pounds in funding. And it's not just football. I know Clyde One Super Scoreboard, that's our obsession, but it can be anything. Rugby, dance, grassroots sport, whatever the challenge. It just wants to help local children, disadvantaged children, get more opportunities to access sport. Every group obviously keeps 100% of the money they raise. They can then benefit from expert fundraising tips from the Cash for Kids team. There's top-up funding, there's grants to be won, there's all sorts. And even if every group that raises £2,000, as an example, gets then an additional £500 boost as well. So if you want to find out more, go to clyde1.com/cashforkids to apply, and the applications close on Monday the 7th of September.
Talking football 6 until 8 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Alex Reyes here, alongside Gordon DL. A nice spread of calls so far, but about Celtic's upcoming Champions League playoff, with some signing suggestions. Jamie Vardy to Rangers, said the previous caller. The transfer window still got a bit of life left in it. What are we, two weeks away still in Scotland? So plenty of moving to be done before then. We've got that League Cup weekend just over with there that we can tap into as well. So you pick up the phone and let us know. And a new Scotland manager, Brian, who's on the line. I think that's what's tickled your fancy tonight, am I right?
Hiya guys, yeah, definitely. That's what's tickled my fancy. Aye, how you doing?
Good, thanks good, for mate. Asking. How are you?
Aye, good. No, listen, I thought I would phone in because it's been a while, and just to give my opinion on the new manager. I think it's really exciting, to be honest. I think it's great for the national team. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was a very, very big fan of Steve Clarke, and I still am. Like, he was never the best, really, at giving interviews and stuff, as we all know. But, like, I was really... You can't take away from the fact that the guys took us to these tournaments, and he's gave me the best experiences in my life so far. So, like, I wouldn't say anything bad about him, but I just like the look of this new guy. I've done my due diligence on him, and I think that his style of play is completely different to what Steve Clarke would go for. Like, for example, I mean, I've seen that Steve Clarke, when he would be quite pragmatic and he'd be quite negative when it comes to just grinding out results. Like, you saw it against Haiti. Like, we were just happy with the result. We were happy with the result, and that's it. The points is all that matters. But I feel like this new manager coming in, he's got a completely different style of play. He likes to be in the front foot. He likes to keep the possession of the ball, but he also likes to be really positive and really going forward. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be a great appointment for the national team, if I'm being honest.
I think what's interesting about it is the amount of positivity it's been met with, because it's almost impossible to get everybody, you know, singing off the same hymn sheet. And I'm sure there are people out there who maybe are concerned about the lack of experience or how left field it is or whatever. But I'm pretty sure the vast majority of people at this point at least like the freshness, like the thinking outside the box nature of it. And then we'll probably give him a game and a half and write the guy off when it doesn't go. But, you know, it does feel like quite a positive reaction for what that's worth.
And I think it was needed, Gordon. I think obviously Steve Clarke did exceptionally well to take us to the three tournaments. However, I think on the back of that kind of World Cup there, then they're thinking, right, okay, we need a change, we need a new direction. And you've got a young manager who, by all accounts, is trying, as Brian says, he tries to play out for the back, he plays possession-based. And it'll be fascinating to see how they go all about that and what kind of shape he's going to play. Is he going to be on the front foot when they're pressing and all that? Or the modern-day terminology. So I'll be fascinated to see how he does that, because you don't win the Belgian league unless you have some sort of creativity. And how he gels it all together, because it is, without doubt, a different ballgame altogether, because you'll get them for a couple of days every couple of months, and you have to imprint on a particular style with very quickly. And it's understandable that he's already spoken to one or two and all that, but it might be a case of, over the coming weeks, this is how we're going to go about it, this is my plan. So he's already bedding in ideas before these guys trap up for the first gathering.
It's going to be so interesting to see what the balance is like, Gordon, between keeping some things and implementing new things, because everybody is in agreement. They wanted something new, something fresh, change of direction. But you do still have to get to those tournaments first. You know, I don't know if we've fallen into a trap a little bit because we've made them, you know, three out of the last four, that you think you're there already and now the next tweak is to take you beyond the group stages. It isn't easy to get to them.
Yeah,
just to contradict that, I appreciate the format for the next Euros hopefully goes in our favour because one of the host nations. But generally speaking, we're going to need to harness the bits that Steve Clarke had that got us there.
Absolutely.
And then add the next steps.
Yeah, I think he would be a fool to come in and go, I'm going to rip everything up and start afresh, right? Because there's not a lot wrong with the national team. We've got good players. We've qualified for tournaments. Yes, we've not played particularly well in the tournaments. That's where a wee tweak must come. That's the next progression for the Scotland manager. He's still got, listen, you're right, Gordon. What I think a lot of people like as well, right? Scotland could have went out there and looked at an experienced manager, right? An experienced manager's been through everything before. They've went for a 39-year-old. I think people go, oh, he's young. He's got to bring fresh ideas. He's foreign. He won the Belgium League. And all of a sudden you start going, I'm quite excited about this appointment. But as you say, it's all down to results. And he's got to get his qualifying, because Steve Clarke achieved that, and he's got to just tweak from that. He can't come in and just go, do you know what? We got to tournaments, but this is a new way of doing it. I'm ripping everything up. If he does that, he'll fail.
Can see all the managerial change we've had. You know, people go back to Bertie Vokes because he was the last non-Scottish manager. You know, that Craig Brown era, that was a bit different because they all retired after that. We had made tournaments. We then didn't make Euro 2000. Everybody retired. It was open season. Everybody was getting caps. And then every managerial change we made after that was because we weren't getting to the tournaments. We were looking for the thing that got us there. And we went for, there's no such thing as a safe option, but there was guys that were, you know, it was Alex McLeish, it was Waller Smith, it was Gordon Strachan, even then Steve Clarke, guys that had done well in Scotland. So there was times when they didn't work either. So is there such a thing as a safe appointment anyway?
No, there's not a safe appointment or a safe signing anywhere in football for me, unless you're signing guys like Lionel Messi.
Bit old now, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'd still sign him.
Get a game for Thistle.
Well, I don't know. You'd need to ask Alec and Mark.
We've got Seb Drosden, so I'm not sure.
They might tactically put him on the bench, use him for the last 15. But you're right, Gordon. There's no guarantees. They've obviously, the SFA, as I say, not a lot of people seen this one coming. They've done their homework. They've kept it very hush-hush. And they decided, after interviewing them, they decided, yes, this is a freshness, this is the way to go.
Brian, are there any concerns, though? Because he is very young and he's very inexperienced. You know, I think he's only managed just over 100 games. Is it too much of a risk, or totally comfortable with it?
No, I don't. I mean, it is a risk when you go for a brand new manager in any like team. Like it's always going to be a risk. But I feel like Steve Clark's done good. And Gordon's 100% correct. We're saying we've got good players there. Steve Clark has built a foundation to get us to these major tournaments. But I feel like the next step up for the Scotland team should be get rid of this. We're just happy to be there mentality. We need to be going to these tournaments and we need to be competing. That's the next step. And I just feel like freshness, a new manager, new ideas, everything, just totally, no rip it up and start again. Like, that's definitely, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that at all. But we need to be able to go to these tournaments and start competing rather than just being happy to be there. And I just feel like this new manager, we will bring this in. We need to get behind him and we need to actually give him a bit of time first and foremost. We can't just have a bad result and go, right, nah, this isn't working, blah, blah, blah. Like, we can't do that. But I'm excited about the prospect of it. So it is a risk, but I feel like he could be the guy to take us forward, aye.
Well, as everybody keeps saying, if it's a good appointment or a bad appointment, that's down the line. That gets dictated to by results, but it's certainly an interesting one, and the way that it came about, I think, is interesting. Listen to this from the Scottish FA's new Chief Football Officer, Craig Mulholland, who explains exactly how this appointment came to be.
Well, it's been quite a process over 5 weeks, which actually is quite a short period of time, despite the fact that it feels like a long period of time, because we've been in many aeroplanes, we've met many people. I think the starting point for us was to understand what makes a win in Scotland, because you can't appoint the coach unless you understand what it is you're actually going after, and then find out can the coach then go and bring you that. So we worked with 21st Group from a data perspective to say, right, the successful nations of a similar size to Scotland, what is it they do that we're maybe not doing, to say, right, how can we go and achieve that? And then perhaps, you know, the ambitions that we have as a country, make sure that we're going to achieve those. So that was the starting point. And from that then gave us a data set of metrics that we said, right, how can we find a coach which matches those data points that we know we need to make Scotland better? That then narrows it down to a group of coaches you want to speak to. And then, yeah, the key bit for me beyond the data is in that personal relationship bit. So can we look them in the eye? Are they passionate about wanting to take the Scotland national team? Will they go into the dressing room and excite our players? Will they work with us in a way that can be really successful for the country? So we then did that. We met lots of people, and then we really, you know, looked at human touch. And Sebastian not only came across exceptionally strongly in all of our data metrics that we think will make Scotland win and excite the fans as well, but actually came across as a good person who's very humble, who's got a good sense of humour. And if you think of the traits of Scottish people, we believe he'll fit well with the culture of our group, because Steve Clark's left a group that want to come to camp. They love being together. They've got a great unity, so we had to protect that while at the same time try to make things and move it on as well.
Again, that word, interesting, because I know there's a generation of maybe football fans still coming around to us going, oh, what do you mean data? How can data tell you what I'm at? But this is 2026, and ultimately that's kind of the way the world's working. Yeah, it's the way the football world's working. Does it feel like, again, a starting point? That's at least how you hoped they would go about it, because I think people's fear was that you'd get into the boardroom at Hampden and go, right, what are we thinking? Use your suspects.
Yeah.
You know, like, so
do you know what I liked about it, right, at the end of it, when he says, and I think it's the most important, everybody listens to nowadays modern day football, it's all about data. He's talking about people that's, you know, the size of countries the same as us and try to narrow it down. But the important thing is when you sit down with somebody and you go face to face with them, Alec.
Your human touch, that's the way you said, wasn't it?
Yeah, you get a feeling for them. He sounds like he can crack a couple of jokes, which will be good in the dressing room, but he's good personality. I like that. You get a feeling for somebody. And any sort of a director of football, i.e. board, making an appointment, will tell you as much as all the data is there for them, the most important is that connection between both sets of people that are sitting around the table, and they've obviously found this in this guy.
No, listen, I think that's an important aspect, that you feel as if the coach is going to connect with the group, because, you know, Big Maxi will know that that group's very tight. You know, there's a lot of caps in there, so it's not as if he's walking into a lot. And obviously, so as I begin the balance, now people say they'll bring a freshness and things. You're thinking, right, okay, where are these new, if he's going to bring in new players that Steve Clark maybe have missed? So there may be a freshness in that respect as well, that guys who just missed out maybe get an opportunity. So, but again, it all comes back to winning games, and that's how he will be judged. But listen, as I said earlier on, I wish him really well, because he's a young up-and-coming manager. And listen, we want to continue to get to tournaments, because the feel-good factor about the country is great at the moment.
Brian, thank you very much for taking the time. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Do you know what I think is great about Tuesday's Beat the Pundit? It's easier than Monday. That's the way to look at it.
Is that right?
Well, no offence.
Did day 2 win last night? Well, obviously,
Roger,
one of them.
Even one of them. I can't even
Roger.
Remember. It's just, was it?
5-1.
Was it?
Yeah.
5-1.
Oh,
5-1.
By the way, phone lines are lighting up tonight. You two are obviously there for the taking. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays, and Sundays, 4 till 7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here. I enjoyed that first hour. Nice bit of variety. A bit about Celtic's Champions League playoff. We talked about Rangers' potential signings, the new Scotland manager. So if you want to pick up on any of that, it's the same number, or move it on to something else, you choose. 01419511025. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. One of these two will take on Alan in Paisley. How's it going, Alan?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon?
Have you ever played before, Alan?
No, I've not.
Right, okay, well, I can tell you that ripping noise that you can hear very annoyingly.
Sorry, my man.
Is Alec Ray ripping all these sheets of paper so that he's got all the league tables in front of him.
You don't do that, do you?
Because he thinks there's going to be a question about the league. And there isn't.
Well, listen, so there you go.
I can't believe that.
By the way, you know how I said that it's easier on a Tuesday? I was kind of just taking a...
Telling the truth.
It was an easy opportunity.
Played against Alec 100 years ago when he was at Falkirk.
Was that right? God, that's a while ago.
Who were you playing for, Alan?
40 years ago.
I was with St Mirren at the time as a kid.
The good old days, mate.
Was he kicking lumps out of everybody, Alan?
No, he was kicking lumps out of everybody.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly. I thought I would just take a cheap shot at you two, say it's easier on a Tuesday. And obviously we know Roger and Andy are good, but I've actually had the stats to back it up. 4 defeats in a row on a Tuesday. Tuesday's the night to phone in.
Who's that, usually you in the biggie?
I lost last Tuesday. Bounced back in the Thursday's my night. My head's all over the place. So I'm
trying to go for the weekend
Tuesday.
What do you mean?
No,
trying to go all the weekend, didn't you?
No, over the weekend. I'm looking forward to my next couple of days. I've got a big couple of days coming up. And then I'm golfing Friday at the Cash for Kids. And
who asked you for a rundown of
schedule?
I said
to you, you're probably trying to get over the weekend. No, what are you doing at the weekend?
Right, enough. Let's go. Alan, I'm going to toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it'll be Alex Ray. And if it is the red side, it'll be Gordon DL. Let's see what you've got. Oh, you've got your rematch with Alex Ray.
Oh, my days.
All those years on,
yeah,
Alan.
Yeah.
It's St Mirren against Falkirk, 1985.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
The good old days.
Right, let's give Alex something else to listen to, Alan. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, look.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Celtic player is suspended for tomorrow's game against LASK?
Oh. It also changed.
What was the score in the last Old Firm game at Ibrox?
Should know that. 2-2.
Scotland's last foreign manager was from which country?
Germany.
How many Scottish Premiership teams are in European action this week?
4.
Name the only top flight team who've not conceded a league goal yet.
St Mirren.
How many All Premiership ties are in the next round of the Scottish League Cup?
2.
Okay, let's bring back Alex Ray. Can you hear us? You
good,
ready?
Good song, innit?
You enjoy that?
Good song. Well done, God.
Is it points?
I've just swiped his league table, Alan. Don't you worry.
Is this scandalous? Wait a minute, you could have been sitting with a league table in front of him.
He wasn't.
All right, it doesn't matter.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which Celtic player is suspended for tomorrow's
also
game? What was the score in the last Old Firm game at Ibrox?
2-1 Rangers.
Scotland's last foreign manager was from which country?
Germany.
How many Scottish Premiership sides are in European action this week?
5.
Name the only top flight side who haven't conceded a league goal yet.
St Mirren.
How many all Premiership ties are in the next round of the League Cup?
4.
Rangers and Celtic were set to play each other in a friendly in which country in 2022?
Know that one,
New York?
Not country.
Not a country.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway,
country.
Alan, right. What do you think?
He was good. You were good.
That was a good game. That was a good game.
Was it?
Yeah, I'll tell you that right now. Okay, let's go through them and find out which Celtic player is suspended for tomorrow's game against LASK. It was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
I'm listening to
you. You both got it. What was the score in the last Old Firm game at Ibrox? Jay would know it. 0-0. Went to penalties. Remember?
Oh, so did.
Classic. Yeah.
Infamously, shall we say, went to penalties. Celtic 1-4-2. Both of you, Alan and Alex, have tried to forget about it. That's why. Scotland's last foreign manager was from Germany. We're level. How many Scottish Premiership sides are in European action this week? Celtic, Hearts, Hibs, Rangers, Motherwell. It's 5. Alex Ray goes in front. Alan said 4.
Oh,
Alan did know that St Mirren are the only top flight side not conceded, and so did you, Alex Ray. So you stay one in front, even though I took the league table off you. How many all Premiership ties are in the next round of the League Cup? Rangers, Celtic, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen. And that's it. Equaliser, Alan.
Oh dear.
From Paisley.
Did you get that right? I said 4 when I'm talking about how well the other boys had done. Yeah.
Alan ran out of time there. You had the chance to win it.
What was the question?
Rangers and Celtic were set to play each other. In which other
America,
country? No, it wasn't. Remember, it was Australia.
Australia, that's right.
So it was Postecoglou.
Because was that not part of it? It was like Angie's big homecoming and Rangers were just coming
along.
I think
I've been doing a lot of tiebreakers recently.
Let's do it. Oh my goodness, this is a long question, this. Right, okay. As the crow flies.
Oh
my word.
I know. No. Why is this? What's the distance in miles from Hampden to the Champions League final venue, the Metropolitano Stadium in Madrid? So Hampden to Madrid. Distance in miles. Quickly, because you could Google it, Alex. You write it down. Alan, what are you giving us?
1,250 miles.
Okay. Oh no. I'm going to need my calculator out.
I'll work it out for you.
Go on. 1,500 I've got.
12. Okay. No, that's fine. Actually, I'm talking rubbish because the winner is Alan. 1,064. I thought you were both in the middle. There we go. Alan's done you. Stop. Well done, Alan.
Well done, Al.
Cheers, Alex.
You happy with that, Alan?
Aye, well, the last time I played against Alex, we beat them as well, so I'm double happy.
One more time, you're on the mantelpiece.
I hate the questions.
Do you want me to be completely honest? I always have two options in the tiebreaker. The first one was so long and convoluted because the music was playing, I didn't have time to sort of work my way through it. I know, actually, it's a simple question. It's just there's a lot of answers down. But I've got two options for a reason. I'm perfectly entitled to pick. Are you Googling that?
Yep.
Aye. How do you know what way the crow flies?
You're not going to do this to me. A steward's what's wrong with this guy?
No, seriously.
You're quite
Do you know
right.
what, though? I've noticed he's the only man that's as into ChatGPT as you are.
Are you, mate? He's brilliant, isn't it?
What are you saying?
1,500.
To Madrid. Did you say Madrid?
As the crow flies, you've given me driving distance. I don't know why we do is that crow.
But the crow could be driving. He could be in the motor.
Well, he's flying.
All right. Well,
there's more than one route to drive. Why? Why are we doing this?
As the crow flies. It's unbelievable.
See, to be fair, though, I think the onus is on us to foresee this issue because we've had this issue with the crow flies before. So, see, in future, let's leave out distance questions. Let's make life easy for ourselves.
Do you see what it was?
What was it? 1,500?
1,400 knows.
Aye.
Alan,
it's incredible.
Alan, you're a Rangers fan, is that right?
Yeah.
How much happier are you at the weekend? Are you one of these I'm not getting carried away sort of thing?
No, I'm very happy now. Derek's my ex-teammate. When we were young boys at Samarnan Morton, we get found out at the local team in Paisley and we won a Scottish Cup together. So I'm delighted for him.
Is that right? Who was the team back then?
Gwyneth Official, local Paisley team.
Ah, right, okay.
Was there anyone else?
He's had a better career than me.
Boys like John Hillcoat, Danny McGreesh, Danny McGill, people like that.
Aye. Oh, same here as me. What age are you, Alec?
Alan.
55, same as Alec.
He's younger than you.
Sorry, I've added a few years onto you there.
I remember watching the Dazzler score with his nose at Park End in 83 or 82 or whatever it was.
83, man.
Did you score for the halfway line?
I scored for four inches against the wind as the crow flies.
Is your nose flew?
I don't know if you ever scored at Park End in Old Firm, did you?
I did score against Celtic at Park End, but it was only a reserve game.
Oh, was it, mate? Okay. Well, at least one of your family would have clapped.
That's lovely.
My dad was the only one there.
Brilliant. Alex, what about the weekend? It's one game, but it was a convincing win. How much better does that make things?
Well, listen, I think it was important to get up and running, Gordon, and obviously the longer it was going, the more problematic it would have been. So it would give the players a little bit of confidence as well. They've managed to score a few goals, and it's interesting because obviously they've fallen on this shape. I don't think the two up top was working at all. I thought they looked quite ponderous, and by actually going the way they got, I thought Penn Rice was a real added bonus as well. He looks as if he could be a good addition, albeit it's only one game. So, but you know, I think that's encouraging to try and get some goals. I think it's so important to get through this European tie as well, Gordon, due to the fact is that they need European football. I don't think it would be acceptable to go to two competitions. I think that would pile more pressure on.
I mean, we always do that. You have to be respectful, and you're talking about no easy ties in Europe, and we always say all that. And of course, like there's an element of that, but the way Rangers are sort of coming down the tournaments, Jablonets,
it's not an easy one.
No, but I was going to say it is.
And you think it's an easy one?
No. I don't mean easy, but surely, Rangers have to win this.
Oh no, but I agree with you, Gordon. That's the reason why I'm saying that it's a must win.
But it's also very winnable, right? Fine, I know we tread that line. No easy games in Europe. We saw that in the last round as well. But this is so winnable, surely.
No, and see, to be honest with you, I mean this with the greatest respect, because obviously they've knocked Rangers out. The Polish team last week, Gordon, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, you know, that's a fairly... I thought that was a decent enough draw for Rangers to get into the stages.
Jablonec's finished fifth in the Czech League last season.
Yeah, no, but listen, I've been over to, obviously it's the main couple that you tend to see, but I don't think this will be an easy game at all. And I'm not trying to downplay it in any way, because I expect Rangers to go through, but I don't think it'll be easy.
Gordon, what does going into a game like that, though, how different do you think the feeling is when you've won, and you've won well at the weekend? Can you imagine what these phone lines would have been like if Rangers had gone out the cup at the weekend and all that sort of stuff heading into this?
Yeah, it was important. Listen, but all credit to them. They got the job done. I'm still a little bit concerned. I think Rangers fans would agree. Rangers look like a team that would give up goals just now. The game on Thursday night, I expect them to win that tie, Gordon. I think that would be a big, big blow to them if they didn't win the tie over the two legs. It'll be interesting to see going forward if Derek's going to stick to the sort of a three up top with the two wide and one through the middle, or he'll go back to the formation he likes, because he does like the two centre forwards. So be interesting that, but it was really important. I think Rangers would like a win, and I think to boost their confidence a little bit more, being a little bit greedy, I think they need a good clean sheet.
Surely, though, there's elements of the weekend that becomes the blueprint or the platform to build
on.
Yeah,
listen, I would imagine they'll go with the same shape as well. And I think it worked relatively well at the weekend, and the goals were kind of split about the team as well. So, no, listen, I'd expect him to go with that again, Gordon. I wouldn't expect him to go back to the 4-4-2. I'll be interesting to see where he goes with and what personnel.
I was going to say, do you think, obviously, Nadiri getting his goal, okay, it wasn't a classic, but all strikers will take them, we all love them. You've got Shanklin sitting on the bench. If he's got to play the one striker, does he keep the guy in that's probably took a wee bit of confidence for scoring the goal and being involved in that, or do you play your guy that you brought in to be your top goal scorer, gave him the added the fact that he's now the captain, responsibility, that was the word I'm looking for, added responsibility that he's the captain. You just wonder, personnel, if he's going to tweak one or two things.
Alan, thank you very much. It was Alan and Paisley won the tiebreaker against Alex, subject now to a VAR check.
Unbelievable,
and
man. I've actually just checked how 8.5 hours for the crow to get there as
is
well.
It,
and that distance,
is that a fast crow?
Yeah, speed against Alice, yeah.
Five defeats in a row on a Tuesday for the Pundits.
It's a joke,
it's the night to be.
Crow flies.
I thought you were on fire tonight. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought a lot of your answers were good.
I've been no good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Billy's a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about this week, Billy, on the back of the weekend?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? Thanks.
Yeah, good, thanks. What are you thinking?
Hello in the panel.
Hey, Billy.
Hi. Yeah, it was a fantastic match on Sunday. But to be honest with you, I'm not convinced. I am totally not convinced with Rangers. I know it was a good match on Sunday. I really appreciate that. But St Mirren was there and they played a lot of good football. They just didn't take their chances. And our defence is very, very, very shaky.
To be fair, Billy, surely you'll admit that Rangers didn't take a lot of theirs, did they? Rangers created a right few chances at the weekend. Where I will agree with you is, if I was Derek McInnes, I'd be having a word with my centre-half. I think he's sloppy.
Fernandes?
Yeah. He started the season very slack indeed for me. I liked what I seen of him last year. I thought he was a real threat, set plays as well, scored a few goals. I'm thinking myself, he could be the one that Rangers could cash in another season, get a few quid for. But he has started the season. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know where he's been this summer, but he's been too slack for me.
He started the season last year as well, Daz. When he initially came in, I think, this big guy, I need to kind of liven up a little bit. But he actually grew into the season and became probably one of the mainstays and grew in stature. But he's obviously started this season really sluggishly, and he's obviously conceded the penalty at the weekend as well. So I'm sure Derek McInnes will be trying to kind of get him to the point. But I think, and I don't know the boy, but I get the impression that he's kind of laid back by nature, and I think it's transferring onto the pitch.
Billy, Lauren Shankland didn't start the game at the weekend. Does that mean you don't expect him to start this midweek either?
No, I don't. Because Shankland's just no produced what he did with Hearts last year. He's had his chance. He scored the penalty and all the rest of it. But my other point was at the weekend, Aberdeen beat Dundee. Mm. Even though Dundee went up in the Premier League and beat them 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, obviously, this weekend has been a cancellation of the Rangers. And I'm sure it was a St Mirren game at Ibrox.
Yep.
I honestly think if that would have went ahead, St Mirren would have done the business against Rangers. I'm just not convinced by Rangers.
It was 5-1, and I know what Billy's saying, and it can't, like, I know it can happen. You play one week, and he's cited the Aberdeen example, but surely allowing for even, you know, do you know what I mean?
No,
like allowing for Rangers to be criticised for elements of the defending, you know, it was still a convincing win.
Yeah, and they created a lot of chances. Rangers, they could have been more than five. Yes, I think they could have gave up a couple of more. It could have been a real high-scoring game for me. But I think that Rangers, I can understand it in one way, but at the beginning of the season, I know you're playing Thursday. I don't know if I would have probably taken the game on Sunday, because you've already, St Mirren wouldn't fancy coming back there, right? They've already had a 5-1 drubbing. You're going back to that place again. If you lose an early goal, you're thinking,
when you make the decision on it, you don't know you've beat them 5-1.
Yeah, I know, but you're playing St Mirren twice.
It's an interesting one, because they've all done it, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's their managers feel that that's the best way forward.
Because, like, freshness, injury prevention. But, see, sometimes, like, I don't know, take Celtic as an example. Do you think they could do with getting, you know, Mika Bauer 90 minutes at the weekend?
Possibly.
Haseem Hassan more minutes to prepare you for the second leg, that sort of thing.
No, I understand that, Gordon. I think, as I said, I still think Celtic are a bit light in depth. And to take another game on, you would have to probably play half, six or seven of your guys that actually started in the Wednesday game. So that's probably the reason the reckoning behind that. And the fact that the five of them have done it would suggest that they're actually four doing this a bit more regular to give ourselves a better chance. And I think for the better good of Scottish football, we need as much mm-hmm. chance as we can
absolutely.
Get.
Absolutely. Thank you to Billy. It's 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I know you're still annoyed that you're
devastated.
Beat the pundit tiebreaker failure. You've got the chance to redeem yourself, sort of, on the full time teaser. So let's do that.
The full time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, thanks to the sponsors Arcplan Glasgow and to James Beattie. Presumably not that one.
Yes.
He's a big listener. Beats. Big contributor to the full time teaser.
Aye, he listens. Sure, a lot of footballing managers.
He's moved to
not in a Tuesday.
He's moved to New Jersey. If it is him,
is it?
Anyway,
yeah, that's where Beats is.
Do you know what I love is how instant some people are when they, you know, something happens in the news and they jump straight on it, make a question. So, in honour of the Belgian Sebastian Pocognoli becoming the new Scotland manager, can you name 8 Belgians to make more than 5 league appearances for Celtic or Rangers?
8 Raskin. Belgians to make how many?
More than 5.
Raskin, obviously.
Yes. Actually, just for what it's worth, everybody on this list has more than 10 anyway. But
Was Valharen? Was he? No, aye.
Yeah,
Valharen. Yeah.
He's top of the list. He's above Raskin. Engels, yep.
The centre half for Celtic. What was his name?
The Belgian boy.
Yeah, he came from Man City.
Denier.
Yes, Jason Denier. Oh, right, let's. You two are flying.
Just pass him there.
I'll just tap it in for a yard.
Let's leave it there. That's a good start. It really is. Certainly by you two, your standards. Can you name the 8 Belgians to make more than 5 league appearances for Celtic or Rangers? You've got Valharen, Raskin, Engels, Denier. So you're halfway there already. And a quick reminder, as always, if you think you could do that, you could be the person that provides the question for the pundits in the full-time teaser, then the email address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. How are you feeling about tomorrow? You get like those kind of butterflies in your stomach, the sort of, you know, like the night before you go on holiday or the night before you start a new job. It's your big solo day out to the capital. You're going to the Edinburgh Fringe on your own.
Yeah.
You were telling us all about it at the weekend.
Yeah, honestly, I've got butterflies. And plus the fact, what I've done is I went and bought a portable charger just in case.
Sensible.
Right.
Sensible move.
And I've now got a wee man bag type.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bum bag of your age.
That's what you call it, a bum bag.
Ah, but it's no round there, it's round there.
Oh, right,
for him,
okay.
It's not watching, it's round the shoulder, down there, wee zip, phone, charger, map, a banana,
numbers.
Just in case anything happens, I'm hungry. I'm excited
you're
for
proper
it.
Proper prepared then?
Yeah, I've got my clothes and everything laid out. Know how you lay out your clothes before the night before you go anywhere? I've got them all hanging up.
Waterproof layer, just in case.
No.
Right, my big dilemma is, and I hate it, do I carry an umbrella?
Oh, no. Because then you don't know what to do with it.
No. That's madness.
That's my big dilemma.
No.
My train schedule sorted. I phoned British Rail just to find out who the driver
British
was.
British Rail?
Yeah, just to find out, well, ScotRail, to find out who the driver was.
So who are you going to see, more importantly?
I'm going to see Tam Cowan.
Familiar with his work, yes.
Yes, I'm going to see Tam in the afternoon, and then I'm going.
That'll be good. That'll be funny.
I'm going to try and see. I've not phoned him yet, and I hope he's listening. Raymond Mearns.
He was on the show with us last year, last season. I bumped into him in Miami, by the way. After that,
tell me. I've never seen Raymond live. He's helped me out with a couple of things. He's absolutely. He's the daddy of them all.
So is this you basically, you trying
he's
to
looking for tickets
for advertise for a freebie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll just phone him or I'll turn up.
You know that Kevin Bridges is coming for 12 stints as well, you?
I'm not Kevin. Nah, I hate Kevin Bridges. I'm not
never
a fan.
Never heard this?
Nah,
well, asked him for a selfie and he knocked
ignored
him back.
Me.
Years ago outside Celtic Park.
I'll never forgive him. I don't care if he tells the funniest joke in the world. I'll never laugh.
Can I just say, just one anecdote from when you were discussing this in the office, which is making me fearful for you.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in you
No, I have faith.
He was trying to tell us about his day out to Edinburgh, and he's told me that one of the, he genuinely said that one of the venues he's going to is in the green grass. And I'm going, what? And he said, I'm going to the green grass. I said, grass market. Aye, that's the one.
Yeah.
So you've got no chance.
Tongue, just personality. Just go out there, ask people. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not going to get very far if you start asking people, where's the green grass?
Yeah, but I'll just say, where's such and such and wherever. I'll just, listen, I've got the what do you call that? The wee blue thing now to follow.
I've
got that as well. That's in the bag. That's just in case you never know who you bump into.
I think somebody should follow you around. You know, like you've heard of an idiot abroad. What about
I'm not good at travelling.
A word that begins with an F at the fringe.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
I'm not a good traveller, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm looking forward to just a lonely thing.
40 miles along the road.
It's got
an hour. Anyway, right, back to the phones. Keep us up to date. And by the way,
if you don't see me on Thursday,
this is a public service announcement. Loads of people listen to this show and loads of people go to the fringe, so there has to be a crossover. Keep an eye out for an old pensioner walking around in his own tomorrow, and just sort of point him in the right direction if you happen to meet him. Paul is on the line. Paul, as a Celtic fan, what's your main thought ahead of this big one tomorrow?
Yeah, so first of all, Gordon, as a man of a certain age and the same age as Mr. BL, I've just played my first game of paddle, so that'll be his new addiction once he gets himself fit.
You're more of a pickleball man.
I love
aren't you?
Pickle, yeah, I'm good pickle. Top class at pickle.
Before me. And just again on the Murrell theme, just congratulations to yourself on your stint with SFA during the summer. It was absolutely top class content.
And that was a lot. If you ever bump into my wife, make sure you hammer home that it was a lot of hard work. I've noticed this. My 5-year old keeps referring to it as a holiday, and I'm going, whoa. I was working hard out there.
We still got all the gear. You know,
I don't
gear.
Know what to do with it though. I've got man issues
GD.
On it. What you're going to do with a GD?
No, I'm not about yours. I'm talking about you bawling about it.
You think of the slagging I'll get if I wear a GD jacket.
GD.
Yeah, but you're two sizes bigger.
No, but it's slim fit.
Big Marv wears a small.
It's slim fit stuff. It's in a wee case in the spare room. Don't know what to do with it.
Just go blue.
Anyway, right. Paul, let's cut to the chase for Celtic tomorrow. What are you thinking?
I'd say to your producer, Ella, I thought Martin O'Neill's comment about Arne Engels was ill-advised. I didn't think it had to be said that he threw him under a bus about Arne not wanting to play in case he got injured. You know, he's a professional footballer. He's going to triple his wages. He's doubled his fee. And, you know, some Celtic fans might argue that he hasn't fulfilled his potential, but the guy's going to go on to be an absolute star, in my opinion. I'm sure Alec would agree with that. Mm. Although I did say that about Edward and Matt O'Reilly. But
do you think it's worth just being kind of open about it, though, Paul? I mean, if that is Arne Engels' decision, I don't even see loads of Celtic fans holding that against him. What's your issue with Martin O'Neill just explaining that that's how it came about?
I just don't think he had to make it about Engels. He could have just said, you know, West Ham wanted him for the start of the season or whatever, rather than it being about the player. You know, I mean, ultimately, it brings me to my main point that we don't have a replacement for Arne Engels. If we play Oxlade-Chamberlain and Callum McGregor...
Oxlade-Chamberlain suspended as well, by the way, Paul.
Oh, sorry, of course, yeah, I beg your pardon. Right, so, who are you going to put in there that's got any legs? You know, Luke McCowan.
Bower will probably play. What do you think?
You think, you know, Bower looks more like a kind of playmaker,
kind
of Modric type, rather than a guy that's going to break up play. So there's going to be a real onus on the wide players to almost be a five in midfield, I think. That's maybe the way that he's going to play, because I think we'll go over it. If we play as open as we did against Dundee United, then I don't, I'm not confident.
It's a lot of them, because I know they're totally different positions, but when you consider what both their strengths are, when you go Johnston and Engels, that is a lot of running power out of one team, isn't it?
No, without doubt. Listen, Johnston, I think when he arrived, I don't think anyone could imagine the level he's actually got to. I thought he was excellent in the World Cup as well, and he brings, we often hear about leadership qualities, and his defensive qualities are great as well. So he will be a big miss, there's no doubt about that. Engels will be a miss, because I think the way that Celtic play with the eights running in behind the strikers and things, I think they cause so many problems. So that will be a blow. I don't have any issues with Martin O'Neill either, kind of given how it all played out. I don't really know if he was trying to throw him under a bus. I just give you the situation as it arose. And
do you think he's looking after Celtic's part in this a bit in the sense, Gordon, because
it could come back to
because then people could, you know, if you say, oh, you know, West Ham wanted him for the start of the season, the Celtic fans could respond to that by saying, well, we want him for these Champions League playoffs, and then he can go after. Whereas if the truth is you were landed with a player who didn't want to play, and therefore it speeded up the deal, is there anything wrong with saying that?
I see where Paul's coming from. To be honest with you, I think it's a win-win for everyone. I know that ideally
it does leave Celtic short though.
Yeah.
So it's not a win-win in that sense.
Bower can get in there. They've got
they're different players, and he's just arrived.
But he knows that Ingles was going to leave anyway at some stage, right? But you cannot just say, right, okay, they weren't holding ace cards because West Ham were. West Ham were the buyers. West Ham came in. Celtic accepted the money. So West Ham have probably said, right, we want the boy the now. We want to get him into the club. The lads probably, yes, I don't think Alistair Johnson's injury has sort of helped him. So he's probably looked at that and thought, oh, hold on a minute here, football's a very funny game. All of a sudden, if I get an injury, then this could be off. So it had to be done. As much as a bloke, as I thought Ingles, for his, especially set plays, and they're so important now, he's got great delivery. I thought he was playing well at the start of the season. But I think Celtic will be okay with that. I think their biggest miss will be right back, because I think you say there about the running power going up and down, defensive side of it. If Celtic defend okay, if Celtic defend well, middle to front, they will bang in goals. There's no doubt about that. They've got the potential there. They've got the ability. They've got players that know where the back end is. I think they look a lot sharper now. So defensively, if they can sort that out, middle to front, I think they'll be fine.
Overall, Paul, you get confident that these issues you've identified can be sort of overcome and Celtic go through?
I understand that these deals take time and the market they're in, you're limited because of the wages, and I get all that, but we've known that Ingles was leaving since Christmas.
Yeah, January.
So since January. So why that one does, and these players, these kind of holding midfield players, I don't think that they should be that hard to get. You know, it's not as if he's like a 10 or a, you know, he's a difference maker in that sense. He's more a guy that keeps the ball. My worry, just to, you know, against Gordondale's point, we need to get the ball first. You know, too often in these European games, we don't have the ball, we don't have possession, and we don't control the game. It just puts an awful lot on McGregor, who has looked, I mean, I was a big critic of him last season. Him and Tierney have looked, you know, different. Maybe McGregor may be getting a rest, maybe. And Nygren looks as if he's a different player with playing up the hook. He seems as if he's struck up a partnership there. But that's all offensively. It's my worry is how do we get the ball and how do we stop being overrun in midfield?
What do you make of, since we're talking about that area, someone who could perhaps help that is, well, at his peak, certainly Rio Hatate. Mm-hmm. What do you make of him, Paul, and how it's got to this point and what the future looks like?
That's the big mystery. Matt McNeil obviously turned Maeda around and got him into a mindset where he had to replay for his move, if you like. He had to sing for his supper all over again. He's got his move. I really don't know Hatate. I mean, the thing with the Japanese players is, Gordon, they've all got good work habits. I'm sure Alex worked with a few of them. They've got good, you know,
work ethic.
Yeah. You know, so I don't see Hatate really down in tools. I mean, he would be one that could keep the ball. And again, you're actually diminishing his transfer value by the fact he's not in the team, and any buying club is going to say, well, he's no part of your plans anyway. So we're not going to give you the money that you might have got 6 months ago.
No, I don't think you'll get the money. That's without saying. I think there was a period where he probably was one of the best midfielders in the country. I think last season was a real disappointment for him and for Celtic, because they've obviously lost a player of that value, and I don't think they'll get that again. Going back to whether he will play tomorrow night, I just don't see it. I don't think he's played any minutes at all in the four games Celtic have. So he hasn't featured at all. That may well force his hand now, that because they're struggling for number eights, potentially you could get McCown getting in there, Gordon. Then that leaves you light on the bench.
See if they were planning that, he would have got game time at the weekend, surely. Yeah, because you knew Ingles was gone by then, and you knew Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Do you think he'll still be there when the window closes? Do you think?
Well, listen,
because I don't know where Paul's coming about how the Celtic get the ball. They're playing at Celtic Park tomorrow night. They've got guys that can keep the ball in play. I think Celtic will have more of possession, but I do agree with them with the Hatate one. The fact that if he's going to showcase himself, no better way of doing it, like Maeda. You know, Maeda sort of at one point, Celtic fans were accusing him of throwing the dolls out the pram, right? He come back, Martin O'Neill got him round. You hear Martin O'Neill talking tonight about Rio Hatate. If he doesn't get his move in the next few days or whatever it may be, then I do agree, I don't think he'll play tomorrow night. But he then needs to start having a rethink of, well, how do I showcase myself? Because I'm not getting out here. I need to do it on the pitch.
That's the only way you showcase yourself is actually apply yourself properly in training. That's the only way you're going to turn Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney's head. And then by doing that, you say, right, I'm going to have a conversation and say, right, I want a clean slate. I need to go again. And that's the only way you're going to get your move, because teams will be looking at them going, do we really want to sign a player like that if we can't get a tune out of him?
I think there's a great point there. Teams now look at him and say, do you know what, we can get him, Paul's right, we can get him maybe a little bit cheaper.
A little bit cheaper, a lot cheaper now.
Yeah, because obviously he's down the pecking order. Celtic really want rid of him. They'll probably want him off the wage bill as well. So all of a sudden you're in a good bargaining situation if you're a buyer. But it's up to him to where he'll probably have a sort of a level where he wants to go and where he wants to play, because he's got that ability. But right now, those clubs aren't coming champions' door.
Thank you very much to Paul. What about this teaser, you two? So it's a nod to Sebastian Pocognoli becoming the Scotland manager. Can you name the eight Belgians with more than five league appearances for Celtic or Rangers? You've got Yusuf Al-Haren, Nico Raskin, Arne Engels, and Jason Denier.
I've got one more. Thomas Buffel.
You've just read my... See, it's...
I never read your... Where is it?
It's the big buffalo on the paper.
I never read it.
Let me see it then. Where is it?
There it's on the
paper. Ah, you're kidding. Right, okay, fair enough.
Tell me you've no good Dessers down there.
No, well, he was born there. Yeah. He's obviously...
It's not a terrible shout.
He was born in Belgium.
Well, he's Belgium.
No, football nationality. He's represented Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah. No, I did dawn on me when I...
Okay, three to get...
Derek Donata. Denier?
Ooh.
You've got Denier.
We've got Denier.
Oh no, you're do you know what? You've merged a couple of names there.
But, I'm on it, innit?
You've got Denier and this guy mixed up, and you've just mashed their names.
Right, okay. But it's something like that, innit? There's another one like that.
Because he's I think you've thrown his first name into the mix as well.
What's your first name now, Terry?
Derek.
Sort of.
Eric.
No.
I don't know.
Derek.
I'm trying
it's
to
close to Derek.
Davey.
Bodrick or something.
I said it's close to Derek.
What do you call
Derek? Derek and Davey are always close.
It's really close to Derek.
Del.
No. It sounds like Derek.
Dedrick
Boyata.
There we go.
See you.
That was a really, really tough watch.
We got it. We got there.
Anyway, let's get the rest when we return.
Until 8 0141 951 1025.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to squeeze in a call, you've still just about got enough time. How are you two faring on this teaser? Thanks to the sponsors Arcoplan Glasgow and to James Beattie, apparently, yeah, but not that one, in New Jersey, for sending this in. Can you name the eight Belgians to make more than five league appearances for Celtic or Rangers? Yusuf Al-Haren, Nico Raskin, Dedrick Boyata, Arne Engels, Thomas Buffel, and Jason Denier. You've got two to get.
Struggling.
We're struggling, mate.
Give us a wee clue.
they're Belgian.
Is any of them present?
I don't know if I'm willing to tell you that.
Okay.
Which, let's be honest, means yes. Yeah. Really messed
up.
Oh,
your man. Your man is injured at Ranger. Romans.
He's absolutely.
Belgian.
He is. Romans. Well done. One to get, we'll get it before the end of the show.
No,
I don't think you will, actually, if I'm being perfectly honest. The question is all a nod to Sebastian Pocognoli, the Belgian, who's now in charge of the Scotland national team. We played a really interesting clip earlier on from the Scottish FA's new chief football officer, Craig Mulholland, talking about how it was sort of data driven and you put all the metrics in and they lead you to the type of coach you want to get, and then you look them in the eye and that's how they've arrived at this name. But what an introduction to life at the Scottish FA it's been, because Craig Mulholland takes the job, Steve Clarke quits, he then has to decide to move on the under-21s manager, find a new A-team manager, and of course we've got this summit, don't we, in a couple of weeks' time. So he was speaking about it, so was the CEO Ian Maxwell, and just talking about how important the next few weeks is going to be.
We want to see change. We can't go on with the limited number of particularly Scottish players that we're seeing in the Premier League. You know, this is going to solve a problem in 5 or 6 years' time when the 18, 19, 20-year-olds, where are they going to be in 6 or 7 years' time? Because they're not playing at other clubs. There needs to be recognition of where we are as a game in terms of developing talent. I don't think anybody can say that at this point in time Scottish football is doing well in that regard. And it's up to us as the association to bring clubs together, to have the conversation, to understand what good countries, what good clubs are doing and how we move that forward.
We've got a unique moment in time where we're sitting low of minutes for young players across the whole of Europe. What Scottish person wants to see that? We don't. But we know we've got some exciting talent. We know we've got some great clubs. So we now need to work with the clubs, not against them, to say collectively, how can we go and make the Scottish game better? This can't be about the SFA and the clubs clashing heads or anything like that. This is the opposite. We're not here to fight with anybody. And we need to become a nation that's actually in our DNA that we want to develop talent. Part of what we'll do through our national youth team coaches and everything else to say, right, how can we go and develop Scotland's brightest young coaches, because we've got some really bright young coaches, so that next time this comes around we've got people ready to come and take this job.
That sounds good. Hopefully it can be done though.
No, well, I think that's the thing, is it'll be interesting to see what actually comes out of the summit, what the reaction of the clubs are, because you're going to have to get them on board, Gordon. You're going to have to, something's got to change. And there cannot be, you know, there cannot be something in the next generation. We've had other soccer schools, we've had so many initiatives, we've given away the reserve league's been tried it, just kicked it into the long grass. We've had three Scottish boys, we've tried everything, so it's just a case of where did it go from
here? It does feel like recently though, that's the thing we've probably not had, doesn't it? Just, and again, clubs might absolutely not entertain this, but does that feel like the kind of the obvious step is trying for some sort of quota, financial incentive, whatever it may be, to really impact match day squads on a Saturday, basically? Because whether, you know, for performance schools, grassroots football, that sort of thing is vitally important. But Ian Maxwell was talking about 5 years' time. You don't see the fruits of that stuff for 10, 12, you know, 15 years' time, if you're talking about stripping it way back, as important as that is. When you're talking about trying to get the clubs on board, that must mean something around, you know, match day squads on a Saturday and how you can, you know, like I say, put something in place to try and get X amount
I think that'll be a big sell. I like the fact that they're trying something, Gordon, right?
And the idea sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
It does, but it's got to be a massive, massive sell. The one thing I do like is they've looked at the overall structure. You mentioned under-21s. They've removed a few coaches all the way down.
That's right, yep.
Right, and they're starting that freshness again. I like that, right? I like that. I don't like MD losing their job, but I just think it needed some change somewhere. They've certainly started that.
Do you think that it should be performance driven in terms of, and I don't mean by results, I mean guys breaking into the, do you know what I mean, into the full squad?
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing is going to try and get these clubs on side with the young Scottish players. I know what they're saying and I like it, because they're pushing for young Scottish players, and I think we all agree sitting here, Alex different, but I'm not on a manager's job where I'm looking for the outside going, what are we not giving young, where's the next Scottish right back that is going to play with so and so instead of going and signing foreigners for millions of pounds, right? But when you're a manager,
you've got the pressures of just trying to win the weekend.
You're not bothering about what Scotland are saying in the corridors. You're not bothering about what pundits are saying. You're bothering about keeping your job. Yeah. And if somebody's offering you a couple of million to go and get a player,
because I said that last year, like, I feel like I'm quite a good case study, but I'm really into the Scotland team and I really want the national team to be good. Last year, Motherwell didn't have any young Scottish Academy graduates in the team, and I couldn't have cared less, because it was brilliant on a Saturday. Yeah. And they had some Scottish players, McGinn and O'Donnell, whatever, but did I ever bemoan that? No, I didn't. So you have to get the
balance.
Look after everybody at once. No, we're out of time. I was going to pick your brains about something as well, but never mind.
Well, as long as it's not how a crow flies.
No, mm-hmm. It certainly is not. One more in the teaser. A Belgian who's made at least 5 league appearances for Celtic or Rangers. You've got Valharen, Raskin, Boyata, Engels, Buffel, Denier, Romans.
What club did they play for?
Celtic.
And timescale?
COVID.
Oh, no.
Nah, so it's significant. He's probably his lasting legacy would be going on a, let's call it a jolly during COVID and getting himself in bother.
Was he an internationalist?
He might have a couple of gaps. I don't think that's going to, how's that going to swing
think
it for you?
I went a jolly. Nah, it's not.
Honestly,
I'll tell you
if
what,
if I see this guy's got 3 Belgian caps, I'm none.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who?
No, I don't know. Give us initials.
BB.
Bobo. No, it's not
Bolly Bollingolly.
No.
Oh, I'd never
remember him. No. Okay. Thank you, Alex Ray and Gordon. DL, huge night for Celtic tomorrow. We're back at 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.